AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction.
What? What's that? I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time hearing you over the dance music that's playing in my head because the Cyclone men and women have danced their way into the Sweet 16. Let's get an update on the machinery market and get the details on a name change for an industry leader.
Live from the tip-off of another Agfotainment-packed week via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we begin with a conversation with Machinery Pete, Greg Peterson. Then it's Donnell Rehagen, CEO from the Clean Fuels Alliance of America. And right after the news, Michael Clark from BAM WX. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
Davis, man, you know that music that you sometimes play when, you know, we don't do it so much anymore because the markets seem like they're always making big moves, but it's like a mashup of the corn conga and the bean blitz and the wheat song and everything going on in my head at the same time right now.
I'm getting that from you.
Yeah.
You are super fired up right now. I wonder what that would sound like. Yeah. A little something like that, maybe.
That's it. That's it. That's it right there.
That'll be more than enough of that. Wait, what's it sound like?
Holy smokes. Yeah. Imagine that going on in your head while you're trying to get work done.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
You are a trooper, sir.
Well, I'm trying. You know, and the other thing that's happening?
What's that?
If you take a look at the leaderboard on the agweb.com bracket buster challenge,
yeah,
you know, you really don't have to look that far down before you find one Cy Flory.
Now Cy Flory, is that some sort of relation?
Very, very close. Very close relation. Yeah, that C.Y. Flory right there in the top 10. I'm not here to brag. I'm just stating facts. That's all I'm doing.
Well, and if we're here stating facts,
okay.
The fact is, that on Friday you and I had a little discussion, a mini podcast that I do every single Friday for ProFarmer.com. Here's what happened in the markets, yada yada. And as I recall, I did grit my teeth, hold my nose, and wish the Cyclones good luck.
Over the weekend. You did.
Which is rare and out of character for me.
Yes, it is.
But yes, I think I'm taking credit for this whole thing.
Oh,
you're welcome.
Really? Okay.
I'm happy to help.
Well, thank you.
Yep, happy to help.
Thank you. Yeah, great afternoon of basketball for the Cyclones. Iowa women, unfortunately, got beat. And, I mean, it was setting up. It was setting up for an Iowa-Iowa State Sweet 16 game, and Iowa couldn't get it done against Creighton, and therefore it will be Iowa State and Creighton going at it on Friday at some point. And there's going to be a double-digit seed into the Elite Eight because you got Iowa State at number 11 playing Miami at number 10 on Friday night. So Big things. Let's get to the news. What do you got going?
Chip, President Biden warned Chinese President Xi Jinping on Friday of implications and consequences if Beijing decides to give material aid to Russia to support its war in Ukraine. During a nearly two-hour video call, Biden laid out to Xi the punishments the U.S. and its allies had imposed on Russia after it invaded Ukraine last month, said a senior U.S. official, who added China would pay a similarly heavy price if it backed President Vladimir Putin of Russia in the fight. Chip.
Yeah, just make sure there aren't any surprises for anybody in this thing.
Food supply chains in Ukraine are falling apart because of insecurity caused by the war and the reluctance of drivers to enter the country, said an official from the World Food Program. Food and water supplies in cities encircled by Russian troops are running out. The agency also warned of collateral hunger in parts of the world. Meanwhile, a critical share of the world's food and fertilizer is stuck in Russia and Ukraine, sending global prices soaring.
Yeah, I think we're going to hear more about that as the Brazilian farmers try to fertilize that Safrina corn crop this week.
Global concerns that Russia's invasion would curtail Ukraine's 2022 harvest have come to fruition, Chip. With wheat already in the ground and only a few weeks left to plant corn, farmers in Ukraine can't get needed fertilizers and chemicals. They're low on fuel for tractors and other farm equipment. Workers are quitting to join the fight or to leave the country, leaving farms short-handed. Meanwhile, global shipments of key manufactured goods and commodities such as fertilizers halted after contract negotiations between Canadian Pacific Railway and its conductors and engineers collapsed. The railroad said the two sides were unable to agree on a new contract, and in that event, it would favor shifting the discussions to binding arbitration. Some are urging the Canadian government to introduce back-to-work legislation that would force striking workers to return to their jobs, but this would require a vote from Canada's parliament.
Workers feel like they've got some leverage right now.
Well, backlogs of cargo ships are building off of some of China's busiest ports after lockdowns aimed at curbing new COVID-19 outbreaks. More than 35 ships have gathered off Shenzhen, and another 30 were waiting recently at the port of Qingdao. This as the Chinese city of Jilin will begin a three-day lockdown of its 4.5 million residents this evening as authorities deal with a new wave of coronavirus infections. And this quickly, Deere & Company has announced it is expanding access to self-repair resources and will make a customer service advisor available to customers and independent repair shops. Chip.
All right. Very good. Yeah, that right to repair has been a big issue for a long time.
Yes.
And Deere is going to even be able to download some software is what I understand. So that's that is a move in the right direction. Thanks, Davis. Let's bring in Michael Clark, BAMWX.com. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good, Chip. How are you?
We're doing just fine. Just fine. Risk of severe weather over the next 48 hours, isn't there?
Yeah, we're going to start in southeast, south central Texas, basically from Waco to Austin over to, you know, kind of that eastern portion just west of Houston. Definitely a risk for some significant tornadoes today. And damaging winds and even larger hail. It's just really a nasty day, at least being possible down there. Now that threat, all that will actually shift east tomorrow, and set up further into Louisiana and, you know, Alabama areas. I'm really worried about a small scale outbreak of tornadoes and large hail events down there as well. So definitely a busy 2 days for sure.
Yeah. And heavy rain, it sounds like, in the mid-south.
Yes. Yeah, you're going to have totals 2-4 inches of rain here over the course of the next 2 days. It's certainly going to be kind of insult to injury on that with those heavy rain totals, especially across Arkansas, Louisiana.
Yeah. Okay, take us into the middle of the country, the Midwest. What should we expect this week?
Well, it'll be wet for portions of Kansas and Iowa and Wisconsin, but dry for the Dakotas and central and western Nebraska. We will have at least the potential for an inch to an inch and a half of rain from central Kansas up through Iowa. So it's at least some nice early spring rains there, but drier in the central and northern plains.
Drier in the northern plains. I wish we could get some relief up there, no question. We've got some beautiful temperatures going on here today, and spring has sprung, buddy. Spring has sprung. Here we go.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Michael Clark, BAMWX.com. Thank you, man. When we come back, we're going to get an update on what's going on in the used machinery markets. Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, right here on AgriTalk.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Machinery Pete here, folks. This segment of AgriTalk brought to you by our friends at Dakota Ag Innovations, makers of Dakota Shine, the best way I've seen to fix faded paint. Go to dakotashine.com or call 888-996-7801.
Right. Chip, you mentioned you're very excited.
Hey, yes.
About the whole cyclone thing.
Yeah.
What was that sound again that you're hearing in your head?
Well, it's all rally music into one.
All the rally music into one?
Yeah.
A little something maybe like this.
Yeah.
Is that the sound?
That's what I'm hearing. It's crazy dance music, but that's what I'm hearing.
It must be hard to focus.
It is. I think we'll try to muddle through though.
And does it sort of fade in and out?
No.
Kind of a thing?
It's up on 10 all the time.
Just constant?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Thank you for being with us today, then, Chip. Thank you for pushing through it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. Let's bring in Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, good morning, guys. Chip, one question.
Yeah.
Can you polka to that music?
No. That's one of the dances I haven't done.
It's worth
done
a try.
Yet.
It's worth a try.
Right.
Give us a little polka. Give us a little polka, big fella. Come on.
I don't know.
I think it could work.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
It could too, Pete.
Sure. You get spinning quick enough and hopping. Yeah. I think maybe you can get a little polka step going to that.
Sounds like you might need a helmet for that sort of operation, Chip. Safety first, brother.
Yeah, that's right. All right, guys. Let's get into what is happening this week, because tomorrow, Greg, we've got another Machinery Pete online auction closing, right?
Yep. Tomorrow morning, got some nice equipment on the sale, folks. Go to our website, machinerypete.com. Check it out. Just to highlight a few of the tractors, getting a lot of attention on a 2005 John Deere 8320 out of Kansas, 7,075 hours, but this thing really looks sharp. Nice unit there. Also from Kansas, a 2013 John Deere 7215R, just under 4,600 hours. From Idaho, we got a pre-def pre-tier 4 2011 John Deere 72R, just under 3,800 hours. And
those
then a one,
man.
Those are, yeah. And one tractor I really got my eye on, Chip, is a 95 Case IH 7220 two-wheel drive. It's a Mark 50 edition, kind of that special emblem on it, 3,200 plus hours from Illinois. I think that's going to do pretty well. And then one last tractor that's really zooming high, a John Deere 5020 out of Colorado. It's got 4,309 original hours on it with a cab, one owner, barn kept. It's already up to 19,000, I think. So getting a lot of attraction on that one.
Wow. All right. Give us the details on how to get there and how to check out everything that's offered there.
Yeah, simplest way, just go to machinerypete.com, look for a link right on the top, whether you're on your cell phone or, you know, laptop, whatever, it'll just say Machinery Pete Auction, and then you can search different ways. But the sale starts to close tomorrow morning. And folks, if you got any items for sale, this auction market is absolutely on fire. It's unbelievable. Best time I've ever seen to be a seller. So if you got an item or two, you know, our next sale will be coming in April 3rd, Tuesday. So just reach out and contact us. We can help you find some buyers.
Okay. Very good. Now, last week, Greg, we previewed several auctions that were coming up. Let's get some of those details of those auctions. I mean, I saw some of your comments. It looks like the trends continue.
It's just picking up speed. It's unbelievable, Chip. The end of last week, maybe the hottest 2-3 days I've ever seen. And again, I apologize for sounding like a broken record, but the numbers speak for themselves. So Saturday, Marion, Indiana, a sale. I'm guessing a lot of listeners maybe caught our YouTube video Saturday of this thing selling, but it was a 99 John Deere 7810 mechanical front, 606 actual hours. I met the owner years ago when I was speaking in Indiana. He passed away. His sons reached out to me, and this thing sold Saturday. Now, this was interesting because there was no online bidding on this auction. Nonetheless, it sold for $166,000, which is the second highest ever auction price on a 7810. But here's the thing. The three highest prices, the record's been set three times in the last 12 months. It got up to 137.6 on an Ontario sale March of 21, and people said, oh, that'll never be topped. Well, we hit 170 last November in Maryland and now 166 in Indiana. So if you want to watch it sell, folks, just go out to Machine Repeat or YouTube, type Machine Repeat. You'll see a link there.
I can't believe that that was done without an online bid.
Yeah, and here's the thing. A dealer bought it, so it's going to be resold. And I'm seeing this every day all over the country. The dealers, because dealers, they just don't have inventory.
Don't have any inventory.
And it's problematic to the point of, you know, you got your salesman on commission and you got to have some stuff to sell. And this market, it's just going up. So again, the interest in it was palpable. And 166, it's just incredible.
Wow. Okay, let's go a little further east to Ottawa, Ohio. What do you got?
Yeah, Saturday again. This was a consignment sale. Now, this is a pretty telling stat here, folks. This was a 2013 John Deere 8235R. Super nice, 1112 hours on an IVT. Went for 176. People were pinging me like, wow, Pete, did you see that 176? Yep, I saw it. It's the fourth highest auction price ever on an 8235R, but it's the fourth highest in the last 12 months.
Oh geez,
that's again. I'm seeing that across everything right now. It's just unbelievable.
Wow. All right, let's. You had another one in Indiana that you talked about last week. What's happening there?
Yeah, we should probably have a poll out there on Twitter, Chip, about which one people think is the most amazing. Because Friday in Strawn, Indiana. Schrader Real Estate and Auction had an estate sale for Norman Mead. And how about this? They had a 71 model IH 1456 with duals, 5,432 hours. It sold for $41,000. And it was not mechanical front. It was just 1456. Second highest auction price ever on a 1456. And that was Friday. Then one day before that, if we go to Thursday, there were two auctions Thursday, Chip. One in Pennsylvania, Quarryville. This was an estate auction by the Hess Group. They had a 1990 John Deere 4455 two-wheel drive, 3,067 hours on it, sold for $74,000. That is the third highest auction price ever on a two-wheel drive 4455. But guess what? Third highest price the past 3 months. So same deal there. Now, same sale, had a pair of John Deere 7210 mechanical fronts, a 2002 and a 2001, about 1700, 1900 hours. They each sold for 84,000. That is a record price. And they had a 71 4020, 4073 hours at 28.5. So, that was Pennsylvania on Thursday.
Okay.
Now, all of this said, the hottest sale all of last week was last Thursday in Windham, Minnesota. This was a sale by Langland Farms Online Retirement Auction. I'm trying to remember. I think it was Paul and Mark, two brothers, great guys. I met them a few years ago when their dad had a sale. And this was Sullivan had this sale, Sullivan Auctioneers. And I'll rattle through four prices. And then listeners, you tell me what you think is the hottest one. 2008 John Deere 8130, 2194 hours power shift, $202,000, record price by 34K. Okay. 2008 John Deere 8430, 1621 hours IVT, $220,000, second highest auction price ever. The only higher one was in November at 221 out of Indiana. Now, I'm
November of what year?
This last So again, the two highest 84-30s ever the past, four months. Now, I personally think it's one of these last two, of which I'd raise my hand for most amazing. But combine, 2011 John Deere 9670 STS, 725 SEP hours, 236, no heads. Chip, I've only ever seen one 9670 sold higher, and that was in November of 11, when an 11 model with 140 SEP hours went for 240.
Oh.
Now, you might say, how can anything top that? But they had a 1980 Timpty 40-foot grain trailer that brought $31,000 bucks. That's 42 years old, sold for
$31,000 for a 40-foot trailer.
Yes. My God. So that was Thursday. We knew it was going to be a hot sale again. Sullivan, yep. Their marketing is going, fantastic.
I'm going with the combine on that one. Hey, real quick, what are you watching this week?
Check out steffesgroup.com, folks. 10 farm machinery auctions this week. A super nice one Friday in North Dakota. You gotta see.
Excellent. 10 equipment sales, 2 farmland auctions.
They're going to be busy up there.
They're going to be real busy. Good week. All right. Keep watching, Greg. We'll talk to you next week. Greg Peterson, Machine Repeat.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beach, my feet are getting sore.
Oh, yeah.
Are you there? Yeah, from all the dancing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you got 2 teams in there, huh? So, yeah, that's worthy, probably.
You bet. All right, man, let's get to the markets here. Big strength going in the grains again, led by the wheat. Is it more the same?
Oh, yeah. I think this is broad-based. When you look at the commodity sector in general, it's the huge gains here to kick off the week. So, you got crude oil futures up more than $5. They have been up more than $6 at points during the morning here. So, just a really broad-based buying going on. Fundamentally, more concerns about the grain flow globally. Just no let up in sight for the war between Russia and Ukraine. And Russia's getting some wheat shipments out, but grain shipments are really limited coming out of the Ukraine and most of their ports.
Right. So we've got corn 22 cents higher. We've got soybeans, I'll call it 35 to 40 cents higher. We've got wheat trading anywhere from 60 to 72 cents higher right now. So big gains going there. Over in the livestock trade, big gains in the hog market to kick off the week.
Absolutely. And, the last 2 days last week were poor finish to the week. And so looked like the threat of possibly follow through selling there. But boy, buyers have showed up in a big way this morning and really pushing out, almost limit up in several of the contracts there. Feeder cattle, they're reacting to the big gains in the corn market with sharp losses, and then live cattle are kind of caught in between.
That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855.
Don't need to do that.
Never mind yet, those numbers. Never mind those numbers, good people.
That's right. Yep. But you can tweet at us. Just include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way we will be sure to see it. The other thing that you can do is send us an email, host@agritalk.com.
I don't have a sound for that. Maybe this.
Do it.
I don't know. That seems a little imperative.
Right. Right. All right. Let's get to our next conversation. We've got Donnell Rehagen, who is the CEO of the Clean Fuels Alliance of America. Donnell, welcome to AgriTalk. How are you today?
Well, good morning, Chip. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. You bet. Now, it's not a new job for Donnell. It's a new name for what was the National Biodiesel Board. Donnell, what's the reason for the name change?
Yeah, Chip, you know, we've been talking about this for a few years. Our industry has been changing quite a bit, you know, and where 30 years ago when the National Biodiesel Board was formed, the only fuel that they were trying to bring to the marketplace was biodiesel. Now we find ourselves in this same space trying to bring biodiesel, renewable diesel, and sustainable aviation fuel in greater volumes to the marketplace. So that was the reason for the name change.
Good, good. It makes a lot of sense to me. Really does. It. You got to throw the bioheat into the conversation here too, don't you?
Absolutely. It's one of our largest growing markets. It's not a new market. You know, we've been collaborating with the heating oil industry up in the Northeast for a number of years, for over a decade, quite frankly, and trying to help them bring a cleaner fuel product to the homes that they provide heat and heat for. And so obviously with everything going on in the carbon reduction marketplace now, the pressure is really on them. And I think our collaboration over the past decade is really paying off.
Donnell, one of the great things about that bioheat story in the Northeast is the increase in demand is consumer driven. Consumers are asking for more of the bio product in their heating oil, aren't they?
They are, you know, they are, and of course, policymakers are keeping an eye on the same space as well. And so that heating oil industry has seen a lot of pressure on it over the last decade to start down this path in one way, shape, or form. And, you know, policymakers think they have solutions as well in the form of electrification, which we all know does not work near as well from a heating perspective. And so that's where this collaboration has been helpful for that industry to position them better moving forward.
Right. How much of a blend are we talking about in some of those markets for the heating oil?
Yeah, so they have plans as an industry. There's about a dozen states up in the Northeast are the primary consumers of heating oil, and their industry desires to be 100% biodiesel by 2050. Today, you're seeing blends anywhere from 10% to even up to 50% biodiesel in that heating oil. So those blends will continue to grow over the years as they get more comfortable from a consumer standpoint as well as a distributor standpoint with handling these blends.
Yeah. So don't the biodiesel plants, don't shut the doors on those anytime soon is what I'm hearing from you, because there has been concern that that would happen with the development of renewable diesel. You've heard that, right?
Yeah, I have. And, you know, this is an example. Bioheat is an example of what I call a carbon sensitive market that will pay more of a premium for biodiesel than maybe what we historically saw in the early years of our industry. The marine market is one of those as well. And obviously the aviation market, the railroad market. Those are four markets right there that are going to be willing to pay a premium for a product that helps them reduce their carbon footprint.
And the amount of fuel consumed by the marine market and the rail market sure seems like there's plenty of demand coming our way for biodiesel yet that we need to continue to service. But talk to me about renewable diesel. We've talked about what it is and why the market is developing, Donnell, quite a bit. But where are we on that process of developing the renewable diesel market?
Yeah, one of the largest producers of renewable diesel in the United States expanded their plant down in New Orleans last October. That plant expansion added 400 million gallons a year of production to their already about 250 million gallons a year. So these are large facilities when they come online. Our friends at Seaboard Energy out in Kansas are going to be doing a ribbon cutting on their new plant the first week of May. And so we're starting to see those announced plants that are coming online. And so I would expect a year from now, if we're having this conversation, there's probably about 1 billion gallons more of renewable diesel available out there than what there is today.
Holy smokes. Okay, good, good. But that market's going to continue to grow into 2023 and beyond, just simply because of the low carbon fuels standard out on the West Coast, right?
Yeah, I've been telling a lot of folks, you know, it's like the map of the United States is tilted towards the West, and all of the fuel that we can make here in the Midwest wants to run that direction. Yeah. And it is because of the low carbon fuel standard, not just in California, but primarily in California, but also Oregon and Washington, yeah. British Columbia, the whole entire country of Canada is near enacting a clean fuel standard, which is going to drive demand for these same fuels. So, California is definitely that draw that pulls a lot of fuel. They're incentivizing the use of those fuels through that low carbon fuel standard program that they've had in place for over a decade.
Yeah. Well, and there's going to be some penalties if they're not using renewable diesel for the truck drivers. They're just not going to be able to operate in the state of California here by 25. Is that right?
There's a whole lot of reasons why that's happening. That low carbon fuel standard program, I think, was really set up to try to push electrification. Now, that may not be as prominent in the medium and heavy duty where we have a lot more of our play, but in the state of California, they were definitely looking for that to be an outcome. Yep. On the light duty side, that hasn't happened as quick as they had thought it might. And so they've really been relying on biodiesel and renewable diesel to help them meet their ever increasing carbon reduction goals.
Yeah. Donnell, it feels like there's a growing realization across the country that EVs are further away than many believed.
Well, I would agree with that. It's just, if you think about the infrastructure that's been put into place in this country over 100+ years to fuel vehicles, you know, gas stations, terminals, pipelines, it's a huge infrastructure. You just can't replace that overnight. And think about, you know, where you're at. If everybody in that town somehow magically a month from now could have an electric vehicle, yeah. Somebody just gave them one, how would they recharge all those? What would that mean for the electric infrastructure? So it's going to take a lot longer, I think, than people think. And that's what California has experienced.
Right, right. And I continue to hear a lot of hesitancy of getting on board an airplane that is run by a battery. I don't think that's happening anytime soon either, which brings in the sustainable aviation fuel and the airlines wanting to maintain a market in Europe, right?
Well, not only Europe, but also here. I mean, there's increasing pressure on companies. It doesn't matter what kind of company you are, but particularly transportation companies like airlines are, to decarbonize their operations. And so even from an investor standpoint, investors in companies like Delta and American Airlines are wanting their companies to do a better job and be cleaner. And so that's also a reason that has them investigating more deeply into what are some alternative fuels they can use from the jet fuels they've been used to using over the last several decades.
Right, right. Well, the National Biodiesel Board served the industry well for 3 decades, will continue to do that as the Clean Fuels Alliance of America, and probably for the next 3 decades minimum.
That's what we're after. That's what we talked about when we launched this new brand is the last 3 decades have been great. The growth has been phenomenal. And that's what we want to do is springboard into the next 3 decades as well as Clean Fuels Alliance America.
Excellent. Excellent. Real quick, just give us a report on the conference and the expo that you recently wrapped up. How'd that go for you?
Yeah, we celebrate our 30th year as an industry and as an organization. It was an awesome experience. We were in Las Vegas, and looking forward to next year. We're going to be back in Tampa, Florida, and that will be our 20th conference next year. So we're looking very forward to that as well.
Yeah, yeah. So the number one priority, as I hear it, for Clean Fuels Alliance is well, you tell me, what is that number one priority right now?
Well, we need to keep sending some clear signals to the marketplace, creating opportunities in the feedstock space. You all are hearing about all these announced crush expansions in the soybean world. That's extremely, extremely important for us to be able to grow the way we need to and the way the country and basically the way the world needs us to grow as an industry. We're going to need more soybean oil. And so to see that those crush announcements have been big. So it's those clear signals to the industry to keep growing and to identify the ways in which we can do that and do that sustainably.
Yep, yep. Donnell, the last time we talked, I said, man, it's happening. And it is. It is happening for biodiesel, for renewable diesel, for the SAF, for all everybody looking for clean fuels. You've got an answer for them, don't you?
We do. We're excited about that and appreciate all the soybean farmers around the country that have helped us to get to where we are today.
Good stuff, Donnell. Thank you so much. We'll talk with you again soon. That's Donnell Rehagen, CEO of Clean Fuels Alliance of America. Davis and I will be right back.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
The 2022 Bracket Busters Challenge presented by Case IH is underway. Who's still in the game? To find out, head to agweb.com/bracket-busters now through April 4th to check the leaderboard. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here with Chip Flory. How's it going, buddy? March 21st. March 21st, the first full day of calendar spring, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yeah.
It's already
here like 10:45 yesterday morning, something like that.
That seems right. Yeah. 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 I was calling it the, it's gorgeous. I was calling it the first unofficial day of official spring after we changed the clocks. To me, I feel like that's really, that day really sort of sticks out to me. I've been working. I'm a little
forward,
sore today.
Right?
Spring forward.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm sore. Feeling it. Kind of in the shoulders, you know, in
doing
the
yard farming.
Bro, I've been yard farming like crazy. You know, we had that one. Was it last weekend? Like 70 degrees.
Yeah.
You know, I'm out there worked on the front. And then yesterday I'm like, you know, there are things I could still be doing out there.
Yeah.
That's why I worked on the back of the house. It looks fantastic around here. Like people are driving by and slowing down and taking pictures. That's how good it is right now.
Good for you. Good for you.
That might be stretching the truth. They're actually speeding
it
up as they drive by. But, you know, still.
I had a little of that muscle use or use of muscles that haven't. Yeah, we had a lot of washout at the end of the lane. So I went down the road and reclaimed our lost gravel and put it back in place. Hopefully it will stick through this rain that we're going to get over the next, it'll be raining this time tomorrow morning for sure.
Yep. So, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's start with Machinery Pete, because kind of something stuck out to me.
Yeah.
For months now, it's been, oh, that's a new record by, like, you know, 50 grand. Oh, a new record and another new record on this one.
Right.
I didn't hear him saying new records quite as much. But I did hear him say, you know, second highest price I've seen in a long time. Based on the way that those records were reset over the past few months.
There you go.
Just a little bit of a pullback here is still very, very elevated prices. And obviously at auction, still super solid demand for equipment.
Yeah, that 2008 8130 up at Windham, Minnesota, sold for $202,000. That was a record price by $34K. So that was the record that he had. But that 9670 combine.
Mm-hmm. That was with no heads, too, right? Didn't he say?
No heads. No heads. Second highest auction price ever on a 2011 9670. The last time it beat a record that was it's the second highest to the record that was set in 2011 on a 2011 model.
Right, right.
You know, it's 10 years later.
That puppy may still have had some plastic on it here and there.
Yeah, exactly. And we're only $4,000 behind that record that was set. So I'm gonna point at that one and say that was maybe the most impressive price that Greg had for us. Yeah.
Still a hot market. Still a hot market there.
Absolutely.
For sure. And then we were on to Donnell Rehagen from Clean Fuels Alliance America. Man, a lot of positive vibes coming out of Donnell, huh?
Oh, absolutely. And there should be. There should be. It's an exciting time for those guys. They've put 30 years of work into developing a market and promoting a market and making sure that the product had access to the marketplace. And now refiners and consumers are asking for it. It's a great success. It's a lot of fun. And like I said, that realization that we can't just snap our fingers and magically move over to the quote-unquote green energy has many consumers, large-scale consumers of liquid fuels looking to take the carbon out. Well, like I said, in the conversation with Donnell, they've got plenty of options available to those looking to take the carbon out of their fuel.
A couple of things coming up here, and this is a little far out, but I kind of wanted to get your thought. We got a hearing coming up in the not till later in April. House Ag Committee is doing a hearing on the meatpacking industry. What do you reckon we see any progress here?
I think that the reason that they put the announcement for it out as early as they did, they're going to be looking for some comments. They're going to be looking for the experts in the field to step forward and bring their information. It's going to be on April 22nd. And it's very clearly just in the headline that I'm looking at from Greg Henderson over at Grover's. The mission of this hearing is very clear: to determine if anti-competitive practices in meatpacking have led to increased beef prices. So it's one of the things that President Biden has pointed at several times, talking about food price inflation, that we need to find a way to bring some competition back in and bring those prices down. I don't know if that's going to work. Hey, I'm all for some more competition.
Right.
Let's bring it on. Yep.
Well, and then there's just one more quickly here. A bipartisan bill introduced in the House to make permanent year-round E15 sales, baby. I like the sound of that.
Absolutely. Representatives Randy Feenstra from Iowa, Sherry Bustos from Illinois, Hinson from Iowa and Craig from Minnesota are pushing this bill, the Homefront Energy Independence Act. It's in response to the rising fuel prices, and if we can put some more E15 out there into the marketplace, we can help to bring prices down. I don't think there's any question about that. All right.
Love that.
Thanks for listening this morning. Really appreciate it. Come back this afternoon. Brian Basting from Advance Trading. And tomorrow morning, we are going to get a Grit with Grace story, and we'll talk with Ernie Goss from Creighton University. Creighton. Oh, yeah, they're playing the Cyclones next.